And again, I welcome everybody to the Carolina Bible Group Bible Study Boys Room. Today, as we continue moving forward, will be our 32nd study in blood, and the date for today is 10/14/18. And I can't get all the congestion out of my throat this morning. Our purpose in all this, our purpose in this study, as I've continually said, is to grow in our knowledge and understanding of blood through looking at God's mention and usage of it throughout Scripture. So for today, we will be continuing again with our ongoing study of blood and how it's used in God's Word in 392 verses throughout the Scriptures. Now, as I've said before, we're not going to jump on every verse as we come across it. Actually going to skip a few this morning. What I want to do is go straight from last week's study where we looked at 2 Chronicles 29 and 30 and the occurrences of blood within those two chapters. And we looked at what significance the blood was in being used in the context of that scripture. So for today, I want to look at how God uses blood in the Psalms. You may or may not realize it, but blood occurs in the Psalms many times. The word blood does. And it's used in several different ways. Some as a recount of history, some as a figure of speech to where people's feet are either dipped in blood or you cover us with the blood or some other connotation such as that. But I think it behooves us, since it is mentioned so many times in the Psalms, I'm not going to do a one-verse Charlie and just go through and look at the single verse. I believe in looking at least at the immediate context around each of these occurrences of the word blood as we go through the Psalms. And so what I'd like to do, I don't know how far we'll get. There are about probably 15 or 16 of them, different scriptures as we go through Psalms, starting in Psalms chapter 5. But what I want to do is go through and read a few of these and the context around them. And let's just get a general sense of what God's doing with blood in the Psalms. How is God using blood? What is the terminology pointing to? What is he trying to say? So turn with me, if you would, this morning, to Psalms chapter 5. And starting here, the blood is in verse 6. And I'll tell you where the blood is in each of these chapters. The blood's in verse 6, but I want to read verses 4 through 8 of Psalms 5. So turn with me to Psalms 5, if you would, verse 4, which says this, "For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness." Now, there's going to be some really good, what I would call, praise and doctrinal truth concerning God as David writes it going through the Psalms here. These are Psalms of David. So that's what you're going to see in these verses as we read along. But I want you to note especially how David uses the blood in each of these cases, in each of these chapters as we get to them, because it's a little bit different every time. There are fewer that are alike, but I was amazed at the differences in the way blood's used. There's even one word in here I'd never seen before, blood guiltiness. Have you ever heard of that? Blood guiltiness? I didn't know there was such a thing. David knew it because he prayed that the Lord would deliver him from it. So we'll see that in Psalms 51, I believe it is. But anyway, let's concentrate for a minute on Psalms 5. Let's read 4 through 8, as I said. David said in verse 4, "For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee." The foolish, this is what I like about the way David does the Psalms. There's a lot of factual statements there. They're also dispensationally correct for David's day. "The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." He says, "Thou shalt destroy them." Here's our blood verse. "Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man." So by seeing a bloody man there, I think it could either be a man who sheds blood, or it could be one who sacrifices to strange gods with blood. I'm not sure which one. As I looked at this morning, I wasn't sure which way I was leaning for the context. I didn't think the context really gave me enough to say, but I would say, yeah, it could be. It could be the case for us. I just saw that note. And incidentally, we did spare Bambi. Some of Bambi's uncles were not so lucky, but we did spare Bambi. We didn't shed Bambi's blood this weekend. So the Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man, but as for me, he says in verse 7, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward the holy temple. He says, and in verse 8, he says, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. So you see the contrast that David is laying down here between him and the way he reveres the Lord, and the enemies, the deceitful, the bloody men of God, and how they revere God. So that's the big takeaway I saw from these verses. Oh, and incidentally, Forrest, we were given permission, I think, back in Genesis, to eat the meat. I'm just making a point there. Oh, good point, though. Turn with me to 9:12, Psalms 9, chapter 9, verse 12. Actually, our blood verse is verse 12. I'm going to read verses 9 through 14 so that we can get the context. Psalms 9 through 14 says this. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And David in his day certainly knew some oppression. There were Saul was trying to kill him. There were nations on every hand that were trying to kill him and be enemies with the nations of Israel. So he said, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Again, it's a looking, seeking, being on the side of God, and looking to God for leadership and for guidance, and looking to God for protection. He says in verse 11, sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. And then our blood verse in 12 says, when he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. Who are them? Them, I think, are the slain, those that have already been slain. When God makes inquisition for the blood, you remember in studies past, I've said that God knows where all the human blood is. He knows where it is. I believe the blood of a man, when it's shed, God knows it, and he knows where it is. Because why? Because his life is in that blood. So it says, when he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them, he forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Those that, the humble ones that have had their blood shed, God, when he makes inquisition for that, he knows where it is. He knows where that blood is. And that's our blood verse in 12. Let's read on down through 14. He says, have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. David knew, as you read the Psalms and the Proverbs, there's no doubt that David knew and understood the salvation of his Lord, the one that was 14 generations from him in the future. He knew and understood the salvation of that Lord. That, to me, is just a testament to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in David penning these words. It's absolutely wonderful, amazing, and beautiful. Turn with me to Psalm 16. Psalms chapter 16. Our next one has the blood in verse 4. But I want to go ahead and read 1 through 6. And incidentally, we may even drop down and look at verses 8, 9, and 10, because it's hard to pass up Psalm 16 and not look at that. Here it says, David says, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee." And then verse 3. "But to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight." And then our verse here is verse 4. "Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips." The drink offerings of blood. So it's pretty clear who David is talking about in these. These are the heathen that worship the false gods. These are those that there were ritualistic blood drinkings during this time. Believe it or not, they would either sacrifice humans or animals and drink their blood as part of their heathenistic sacrifices, as we've seen. And then he says in verse 5, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my life. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." He's separating himself in these verses from those that drink offerings of blood, he says, "which I will not offer," David says. "I do not do those things. I don't offer blood to idols. I don't drink blood in honor of false gods or of idols." We're revealing one here in 16. Then if you drop down to verse 10, actually let's read 8 through 10, because this is quoted by Peter in Acts chapter 2, 25 through 27, if you want to check it out. Where David goes on in verse 8, he says, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope." David's flesh, he said, would rest in hope. Why? "For thou wilt not leave my nephesh." You will not leave my soul in hell or in the grave, Sheol. "Neither will thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption." This is David. Speaking of the Lord Christ himself, as is quoted in Acts 2, verses 25 through 27. It's hard to pass up Psalm 16 and look at anything else and not look at that along with it. Turn with me to chapter 26. We're going to skip a few. The next occurrence of blood is in Psalms 26. Psalms chapter 26. Let's look at verses... the word is in 9, but this text was so strong and powerful that I want to read all 12 verses of Psalms 26. Listen to what David said. He said, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart," he says. He says, "For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth." A lot of what I would say doctrinal truth in many of these statements David makes here too. He said in verse 4, "I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works." Lord, he says, "I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth." And then here's our bloody verse. "Gather not," he says, "my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men." And again, I think the bloody men could be a reference to either those, as he's mentioned before, those that drink the blood of sacrifices to false gods, or literally of those who are murderers, who shed the blood of innocent men. So he says, gather not, in verse 9, my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands, he says, is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. So there's also mischief and deceit and bribery that goes along with the hands of these bloody men, he says. He says, but as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. David said, my feet are planted in a nice, level, stable, even place. He said, in the congregation will I bless the Lord. The next one's in chapter 30. Let's go to Psalms chapter 30, a couple pages over. Our verse is again verse 9, but I'm going to read 6 through 10 for the context here in chapter 30. He says, and in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, David says, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. He said, I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. A supplication is when you pray for yourself or someone else, as I understand it from not only the Old Testament, but from the New Testament. And then here's our verse in verse 9. He says, what profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? What good is my blood, he says, when I go down to the grave? This is Sheol here, I believe in the... This is Shephath, or destruction, or corruption. He says, what profit is there in my blood when I go down to corruption? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Well, the answer is no. The dust will not declare the truth of God, nor will it praise any that go down to destruction or corruption. He says in verse 10, we're going to read through this verse, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. You can see over and over and over and over again the example of David when he mentions the blood. It's as if he's asking God to be his helper. He's realizing his mortality. He's realizing that when he goes down into corruption, that dust is not going to praise him or God or anybody else. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, there's no knowledge or wisdom or anything in the grave where thou goest. It's over. You're either gone or you're asleep in Christ until you hear the call of God. Psalms chapter 50. Skip over to Psalms 50 is our next one. And I apologize for moving through these so quickly, but I think everybody is worthy of being able to hang in there with this one. Again, this is one of those that I want to read down through at least verse 15. 1 through 15, Psalms 50. Our word is in 13, so I wanted to read the build-up because Psalms 50, verse 1, makes a very declarative statement. David says this. He said, the mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken.
Yeah, amen.
Is that not a testament? A wonderful thing to be thankful for this morning, that we have sitting before us the written word of God, and that the fact that the Lord, the mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken. He could have chosen to remain silent and let mankind fend for themselves, but he did not. He has left us with the picture of himself in creation. He has written his plan in the stars, and last of all, he has given a word that brings us the truth concerning himself and his son. Amen. The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken, and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, he said, the perfection of beauty God hath shined. Our God shall come, verse 3, and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. This is David talking of a coming judgment. Gather my saints together unto me, those that I have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself, Selah.
Amen.
Amen. Hear, O my people, David says in verse 7, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, he says, nor he goats out of thy fields. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls, verse 11, of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine, he says. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. What can you give God that is not already his? I don't think that these statements, the doctrinal truth of them, have ever changed. If you want my personal, honest opinion, I believe these are doctrinal statements about God and his relationship with his creation. Yes, he has done certain things for his creation in his Son through the reconciliation of it, but nothing has ever changed as far as the earth being God's. Dominion has changed hands, I believe, down through the ages, but overall, it belongs to the Father. He said, will I eat the flesh of bulls? And here's our verse in 13. Or drink the blood of goats, he says. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And then in 15, he says, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. So it's another statement of where we are versus where God is. It's a statement of the clay and the potter in my mind. It starts off saying that the mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. That puts us in our place immediately because God hath spoken. The next one is Psalms 51:14, and here's the one that I was talking about earlier, the blood guiltiness. Let's start at verse 10 and read through 15. 51:10 says this. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. He says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. And then here's the blood in verse 14. Deliver me from blood guiltiness. Blood guiltiness. O God, thou God of my salvation, he says, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Look at the note. It's literally Hebrew. In the Hebrew, blood guiltiness means bloods. It's the plural of bloods, but it was rendered in the English by the King James translators as blood guiltiness. In the Hebrew, it's literally plural bloods. Of majesty, it says, put by a figure of speech, of species, in Appendix 6, you can read about this, for the great murder of Uriah. Now, if you remember, Uriah was the husband of the woman that David wanted and took to himself. Remember, he had her brought to his chamber, and he got her pregnant. And then he arranged for Uriah, who was a just and upright soldier for the nation of Israel, to be killed in battle. That's pretty low. I mean, that's as an evil thing to do. It's pretty low. And the figure of speech here is not only for the death of Uriah, but for the death of everyone that would have or could have been born out of his lineage, just like Dad talked about a few weeks ago. The ones that were never born, it's as if they cry out in having never had their chance because of an evil that was done to them by David as king of Israel. No way around that. That's a very interesting verse. And you can read about Uriah and all, how all this went down. It's in, per the note, 2 Samuel 11. You can read 14 through 21. And it says, compared to Genesis 14. Pretty amazing. Blood guiltiness. Never heard of it before. He says, deliver me from blood guiltiness, or literally from the guilt of the blood of Uriah. O God, thy God of my salvation. Even David knew of his own sins. He never claimed to be a sinless man. He just claimed to be one who loved God. He never claimed to be perfect, just one who trusted in God. And my tongue, he says, shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, he says, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. So I thought that was a very interesting one to see as we went along there in Psalms 51. Turn with me, if you would, to 55, Psalms 55. And the blood in 55 is in verse 23, but I want to read verses 19 through 23 here as we move along. David says, God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes, and the changes, they have no change of heart toward God. Therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth, verse 20, his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth, in verse 21, were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Then he says in 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And then here's the blood, verse 23. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction, bloody and deceitful men. There again, we see bloody and deceitful men mentioned in the same context. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. But I, David said, will trust in thee. The distinct difference drawn between those who trust in God and the bloody and deceitful men here in Psalms 55. Turn with me to Psalms 58, and we'll look at verse 10, where our blood is. But I want to read 3 through 10 as we move forward here. David again making reference to the wicked. He says in verse 3 of Psalms 58, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Huh. Have you ever wondered how, you know, like your cousin, you said that from the day he came out, even as a young child, he was so mean that he could not be contained, ended up in prison for murder.
Yeah.
Years and years ago, and Dad said he saw it. He was a little bit older than Lamar, and he just could not be, nothing changed him. He just... It's like he came out of the womb headed for prison.
With no constraints. I mean, he was one with no constraints.
He didn't have any morals, no conscience, no nothing. I thought about him when I read this verse. I said I'm going to mention it. It just jumped out at me. He said, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They're like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear, which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely, it says. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Let them melt away as waters, which run continually, like snow water. When he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows, let them be as cut in pieces. As a snail which melteth, let every one of them pass away, like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. And then he says in verse 9, before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. Then it says in 10, and here's where our blood is here. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. Now see, certainly nobody is going to wash their feet in the blood of the wicked. But here he's talking about the difference, the stark difference in how God looks at the righteous and how God looks at the wicked. And he literally says that the righteous will overcome. To wash their feet in the blood of the wicked is literally to overcome the wicked. It doesn't mean they're literally going to do it. It's a figure of speech. There are figures of speech, believe it or not, in the Scripture. And that's it. He shall wash his feet, he says, in the blood of the wicked. Very interesting set of passages there. Let's jump on down to 59. Our blood is in verse 2 of chapter 59, but I want to read verses 1 through 3. David again says, deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. And then here's our blood. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me again from bloody men. Bloody men. David merely speaks of these here as mine enemies. And I believe in this connotation, it's the enemies of those who hate his God, hate his people, and it would be these that would shed the blood of God's people, those who hold God in esteem. I believe that's who the bloody men here are that David wants, that David prays for salvation from. He says, for lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me. Not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. But and I'll go down through 4. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake and help me, and behold. David again praying to God for deliverance, for help from, as he says, these bloody men. Now the next one's in 68. Turn to Psalm 68. And the blood in 68 is in verse 23. But I want to read 19 through 23 to get the lead up to it. Verse 19, Psalm 68. Blessed be the Lord, who daily leadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. But God shall wound the head, verse 21, of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such an one as goeth on still in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea. And then in 23, here's our blood. That thy foot may be dipped in the blood, he says again, of thine enemies, and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. Again, the good dipped in the blood, the feet are dipped in the blood of his enemies. Very telling
it's like
your speech here.
Kind of like walking through the battlefield of the ones that you had to slay.
Oh, yeah. When you have that many dead in one place, there literally can be like little rivers of blood. that you would have to walk in as you went through it. Maybe that's what he means. Amazing. Psalm 72. Let's look at Psalms chapter 72. I know we're moving through this quickly, but I think from looking at the blood in the Psalms, you can kind of get a pretty good idea how David chose to use it here, and how God moved David to use it here. The blood is in 14 in chapter 72, but I'm going to read 11 through 15. David says in 72:11, "Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare," verse 13, "the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and from violence." He says in 14, here's our blood verse, "and precious shall their blood be in his sight." See, the blood of who? "He shall redeem their soul." He's talking about the poor and the needy here. And it says, "and shall save the souls of the needy." And then he goes on about them to say, "he shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence. And precious shall their blood be in his sight of the poor and the needy." I thought that was very telling. It says, "and he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised." Another interesting use of blood there in chapter 72. And it's like I say, I'm just you know, kind of putting some of these out there. This is by no means a in-depth, extensive study of these by any means. I mainly want to get you to see the context of how blood is used throughout the book of the Psalms, and then the details will come when you fill them in for yourself. 78, chapter 78, turn to Psalm 78. We've got just a few more minutes here. Psalm 78, our blood is in 44, but I'm going to read 40 through 44. Where David said, "How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert?" Well, who would have provoked God in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert? That would be the children of Israel. "Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." Verse 42, "they remembered not his hand, nor the day he delivered them from the enemy." He says in 43, "how he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan and in our blood," in 44, "and had turned their rivers into blood." This is literally a recount of the historical account where God, as one of his plagues, turned the river Nile into blood. And all the fish, remember, all the fish died to kill that went along with that. "And had turned their rivers into blood and their floods that they could not drink." And that's just a historical reference back to the time here in Psalm 78, back to the time when the nation of Israel witnessed these great plagues that God placed upon their enemy in Egypt when he was delivering them. Psalm 79, next chapter. Psalm chapter 79, verse 3. And I want to read, let's read 1 through 10 here to get the punch of what's going on in Psalms chapter 79. The blood is in 10. We're going to read actually 1 through 10. "O God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem on heaps. The dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of the heaven, the flesh of thy saints unto the beast of the earth." Then verse 3 is where the blood is. And there, it's also mentioned, I believe, in 10. So that's why we're going to read down through 10. Yeah, this one has two, Psalms 79, 3 and 10. He says, "their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem." This is the blood of the saints, he says. "And there was none to bury them. We are become a reproach to our neighbors. a scorn and derision to them that are round about us. How long, Lord, will thou be angry forever? Shall thy jealousy burn like fire? And you could go back in Samuel and Kings and probably Chronicles and read about what David's talking about here. He says, pour out, in verse 6, pour out thy wrath upon the heathen that have not known thee, and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon thy name. For they have devoured Jacob, laid waste on his dwelling place. O remember not against us former iniquities. Verse 8, let thy tender mercies speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God, of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us, and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. And then the other blood is here in verse 10. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is their God? Let him be known among the heathen in our sight by the revenging of the blood of thy servants, which is shed. The revenging. You see that? Blood for blood, God said. David knew that. What did he say? Let him be known among the heathen, him being the Lord God. Let the Lord God be known among the heathen in our sight by the revenging of blood of thy servants, which is shed. That's how he wanted God's name known, is to revenge the blood of the servants that had been shed. I thought that one was very interesting there in 79:10. Let's look at 94, Psalms 94. I believe we can knock these out here in the next few minutes. Psalms 94, our blood's in 21. I'm going to read 16 through 22. Psalms 94, 16. David says, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? He says, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. Ooh, that means he would have died. He said, when I said my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. David knew where his strength came from. He said, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by law? And then here's our blood in 21. They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. He continually refers to the blood of Israel as the innocent blood. I thought that was interesting. He said, but in verse 22, he said, but the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. If nothing else, you can see from reading about these instances of blood in the Psalms that David knew where his defense, his strength, and his refuge was, and it was in the Lord God of Israel. Let's turn to 105, Psalms chapter 105, very quickly. The blood's in 29. I'm going to read 23 through 29 of 105, where he says, Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham, and he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. Verse 25, he turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. He sent Moses his servant and Aaron whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. There's the blood in verse 29. And then let's look at 42 through 43. It said, for he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant, and he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness. That's the kind of the end of it. I mean, it sounds pretty bleak as you're going through there. But in the end, that's why I wanted to bring out 42 and 43. So it says, for he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness as a reminder of their deliverance. 106. Let's turn to Psalms 106. Blood is in 38. Let's read 34 through 39 of Psalms 106, where David says, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them. Well, we know immediately who they're talking about here. Israel was commanded to wipe out the evil seed in the land, but they did not. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. Wow. Not a whole lot different from what we do today. Cloaked in abortion. And shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. I wonder if our land is any different today. Just a thought. Their land was polluted with blood. Let's read 39. Thus were they defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Well, we believe a woman has a right to kill a baby if she wants to. It's part of her own body. I wonder if God agrees with us sometimes. And then the final one. Turn to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. Verse 19. Blood's in 19. Let's read 17 through 22 of Psalms 139 and we'll be done. Where he says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, he said, there are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. And he says in verse 19, depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. There again, talking about the bloody men. And he says in 20, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? And then he says this. It's a kind of an interesting statement. I hate them with perfect hatred. Well, did you know there was such a thing as perfect hatred? I did not know that.
No room for kindness.
Evidently not. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Wow, those that speak against thee wickedly, and the enemies, he said, that take thy name in vain, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. Wow, strong words from David. So we'll stop there. Just some things to think about. That's the usage of blood in the Psalms, and with a little bit of context to go with each one. Hopefully it was as eye-opening for you as it was for me. Hopefully it's stirred up your curiosity to go and dig a little deeper into each of these, at least maybe some of them. Some of them I thought were extremely interesting and very well worthy of a little more study. But let me stop the recorder here.